Money. Who's controlling who? So far in the series, we've looked at the danger of money and the pleasure of money. The danger of money is falling in love with money. It is the root of all kinds of evil. It causes many forms of grief. And some have even lost their faith because they have allowed money to take the place of God in their lives. This is not a subject to be taken lightly. The love of money is very dangerous. And it will control you if you allow it. It will own you. So that's the danger of money. But what about the pleasure of money? Because there is pleasure in having and using money. And one of the great pleasures that money can bring is generosity. Being generous with it. There is a joy found in being generous. But the giving part of being generous is difficult. Remember, we talked about that, how being generous is a joy, but the giving part, that hurts. That's a tough part of being generous. Not always is that viewed as the joyful part, because it requires sacrifice. Anytime you give, your net worth goes down. Whether it's financially, or giving of your time, or giving of your talents, or giving of your emotions, whenever you give, whatever account that you give out of, that account takes a hit the second you give. Giving's not easy. It is a sacrifice. And understanding giving as a sacrifice brings us to where we are today, and that is that when we give to God, the act of giving honors God. The danger, the pleasure, the honor. Giving to God is a form of worship. The act of giving is difficult because it hurts, because it involves sacrifice. Sacrifice is a major part of our worship. It's honoring to God. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to be nerds this morning. So for those of you guys who are number nerds, then you're going to enjoy it this morning. For those of you guys who aren't number nerds, I'm going to go fast through the numbers so that you won't get too bored. All you need to be concerned about are the totals, and just trust me on the math. If you're a number nerd, I'm going to go fast, and that should be fun for you because it's more of a challenge. Nehemiah, if you open your Bibles up to about the middle of your Bible, you'll end up in Isaiah or Psalms probably. If you ended up in Isaiah, start turning backwards. If you ended up in Psalms, wait for those who ended up in Isaiah. Keep turning backwards. Once you get to Psalms and start turning backwards from there, you'll hit Job. And then you'll pass Esther. And then you get to Nehemiah chapter 7. Nehemiah chapter 7. And this is where they are collecting funds to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah has been given this vision to rebuild Jerusalem. And they're going to start with the walls first. So they're taking up this offering and gaining funds for this vision of improving their worship center of old. So we're going to see what it looks like when God's people are honoring God with an offering. Honoring God with an offering. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 70. Some of the heads of the families contributed to the work. The governor gave to the treasury 1,000 drachmas of gold, 50 bowls, and 530 garments for priests. Some of the heads of the families gave to the treasury for the work 20,000 drachmas of gold and 2,200 minus of silver. The total given by the rest of the people was an additional 20,000 drachmas of gold and 2,000 minus of silver and 67 garments for the priests because they can't run around naked. All right. So we got some priestly garments. We got some weights and measures and currencies there that we just don't understand. We can't make sense out of those numbers. And so when we read that without any kind of research, we don't see how honoring this gift is to God that they gave. So let's do a conversion. We've done this once before. Let's do it again with modern day numbers here. First of all, we'll look at the gold. The governor gave 1,000 drachmas of gold. That's equal to 19 pounds. Okay, don't write anything down yet. We're going to get totals only. I'm giving you the breakdown first. 1,000 drachmas of gold, which is equal to 19 pounds, which is equal to 8.5 kilograms. The heads of the family, they gave 20,000 drachmas of gold. That's equal to about 375 pounds. It's a lot of weight of gold. Or 170 kilograms. So, and then the rest of the people, they also gave an additional 20,000 drachmas of gold. So when we look at all of this together, the Israelites totally, or the Israelites gave a total combined of 41,000 drachmas of gold. You can write that down. Now we can start writing out some numbers. 41,000 drachmas of gold were given, which is equal to 769 pounds, which is 348.5 kilograms. Converted to pounds and then converted to kilograms, because kilograms is easy to follow in the price of gold right now. Price of gold for 1 kilogram, this is in your notes, trading this year, 1 kilogram of gold, get this, $52,957.75 for 1 kilogram of gold. How many kilograms did they collect? I think you got it right, 348.5. So, math students, what we're going to do is we're going to take how much it is, how much 1 kilogram of gold is, and we're going to multiply it times 348.5 to get a total. So we can go on the next screen and we can see what that is. 348.5 kilograms times 52,957.75 is 18,455,775.88. Don't forget the change. 88 cents there. $18.5 million. Now let's look at the silver. We're told, or the governor didn't give any silver. There's no number under there. So we just have two groups, the heads of the family and the rest of the families. The heads of the family gave 2,200 minus, and the rest of the family gave 2,000, which is a total of, come on, math people. 4,200 minus a silver. 4,200 minus a silver. The Israelites gave a total of, magically on the board screen, and that's equal to 2.3 metric tons. Forgive me, I am American, but metric tons worked better for today. So metric tons, 2.3 metric tons, which is equal to 81,130 ounces. That's a lot of ounces of silver. Today, silver is going for $31.52 an ounce. So, math students, what are we going to do? Multiply 31.52 times 81,130, and we come up with this number here. 1 ounce of silver, okay, 1 ounce of silver is $31.52. $31.52 times 81,130 is $2,557,217.60. So that's about $2.5 million. So we've got $8.5 million and $2.5 million. So when we put these together, this is what it looks like. We've got 18.5, 2.5, and the total with all the numbers there is 21,012,993.48. The total value of their giving was that number there. I'll give you a second to go on and write that down. It's 21,012,993.48. That is $21 million. $21 million. You talk about honoring God. You know, a few minutes ago when we were reading about drachmas and minas, we had no clue. Now when we look at it in American dollars, we understand, wow, that's a huge amount of money. So honoring to God. Let's break this down a little bit. In verse 66, we're told that the whole company numbered some 42,360 people. Actually, that's just counting the men. And I'm not even including the singers or the animals or the servants. That's just the men, so that's the head of the family, the head of the household. So that can represent a whole household or a single man. So if we take this number, 21 million, and we divide it by 42,360, what we're going to do is we're going to find out what the average was for each man, which represented a family. And here's what that average is. It's $21 million, and the average, each family unit gave $496.05. Now that I can wrap my mind around. I've held $500. I've never held $21 million. I can't imagine what $21 million looks like. I've never budgeted for $21 million. I've seen $500 many times in my budget. I've got a house payment that's more than that. I've had car payments that, well, they weren't close. Both of them combined were about that at one time. I can imagine $500, and that's not that much money. It is a lot of money, but it's not that bad. That's very realistic. What if you could be a part of a huge sum of money that honored God, and all you had to do was contribute $500? Wouldn't that be great to be a part of a group like this? Let's play with some numbers for a moment. We have a special Easter offering coming up. A situation where we have a desire to create a better ministry tool out of our fellowship hall downstairs, and we need money to complete that project. And this is very similar to the concept of what we read about in Nehemiah. He had a special project, a vision given by God, special project laid out, and basically what he wanted to do, they were rebuilding their worship center, but the idea was improving their worship center, making their worship center into a place that could be a better tool used for worship. The exact same thing that we're doing downstairs for the kids. It's a special project that needs some help with special funds. Our special Easter offering is generally around $3,000. Let's take this example from Nehemiah, where each family unit offered an average of $500. And when those people combined their giving, the sum was a huge number of $21 million. That's enormous. But each family only had to give a little. We have about 200 adults here on a Sunday morning. That's closer to like 220 on a low morning with 30-some kids downstairs. But let's round that down to a nice round number of 200. If we have 200 adults here, and we look at this number as being a number that represents a family, then $500 per family, let's say that that's a couple, so $250 per person. And that's to respect the widows, widowers, the singles, the whatnot. Does that make sense? Why we're dividing that in half? That way a couple is representing the 500, a single is representing 250. If we had 200 adults on Easter Sunday give $250 a piece, mathematicians, how much would that be? No, it's not. Wait for me. Follow me. Don't jump ahead. That's your warning. They don't do any good with Peg anyway, so she's back there like, what? A warning, what's that? That's right, it's not what's in the bulletin. We don't have anything on the board yet, so just wait for the screen to change before you take any more notes. Relax. $250 per person, 200 people, how much is that? What is it? $50,000. Our Easter offering is somewhere between 3 and 5. 5 on a really good year. That number would bring $50,000. That would be honoring to God, wouldn't it? That would be amazing. And we as a church would be able to feel like we're doing something together, and I contributed a part to something that was big, that honored God, and the children get the benefit. But the children aren't my focus. No offense. My focus is honoring God with our offering. Now I want to make it more realistic, Peg. Because I want to make this obtainable, because $500 is still a lot of money for a couple. And in a struggling economic environment, I understand that's tough. That number is based out of an inspired number from Nehemiah. You guys saw how we got it. You wrote it all down. What if we just did half that? What if we gave $125 per person, which is $250 per couple? That's half of the relative amount that was given by the Israelites in Nehemiah. We could do that, couldn't we? Yes? We could do that. That's very possible. Let's write that down. If each individual adult in our church would give $125, that's $250 per couple, then our Easter offering would be what? $25,000 instead of what? $3,000. You see, that's a huge difference. That's a huge difference. $3,000 is good. It would help create a better worship environment for our kids downstairs. And I believe we've honored God in the past with $3,000 Easter offerings. I'm not trashing those. I'm wanting to step on top of them and climb and build. How much more would it honor God if we raised $25,000 this Easter? That would be crazy for our church. That would be awesome crazy. A number greater than all of the Easter offerings combined since I've been here. 6 years. Now, if we go back to Nehemiah, and then we go back further to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It's when the temple was built for the first time. And David was collecting money to help his son as he was going to build the temple. And I encourage you to read this sometime, and you've got the amount that gold is worth today and the amount that silver is worth today. You can do your own calculations if you're a math nerd, and you can see how much they gave to the original temple. It will blow you away. In this story, King David gave first and he gave publicly. And then he asked them, he said, okay, now, who is willing to consecrate himself to the Lord? David gave first and he said, okay, who's next? Who's willing to do this? I'll set the bar, I'll set the example. And then we're told that the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave willingly, all these people, after they followed the lead of the king. In both of these situations, in Nehemiah 7, which the governor gave first, and in 1 Chronicles 29, the leaders gave first and the rest of the people followed their lead. So inspired by the way these two stories go, biblically inspired, I have a check here for $250 written for my family. It has a date on there of April 4th, 2012. And these little Easter offering envelopes that you see right there in front of you, that's where this is going to go. I've got one more service to use this, so I'm not going to seal it this service, but I'll seal it next service. And this will be ready to give as a special Easter offering above and beyond my normal tithe. I want to be very clear right now, and you need to listen carefully. Any thoughts you have floating around in your head, subdue them because you need to hear this. This is not meant as an act of bragging or boasting. I'm not giving to get credit publicly. I am simply following an example that I see in Scripture of Nehemiah and of 1 Chronicles 29 where the leaders gave first, and they gave first to honor their God, and they did it publicly. And they did it for the second reason of inspiring others to honor God as well. That's my goal this morning. My goal is not for public credit. My goal is as a leader here to step forward and say, I want to honor God and I want to put my money where my honor is. And I want to inspire you to do the same thing. We could honor God this Easter with an amazing offering. And we can celebrate that and be happy that we are a people that claim that we honor God and we show it with deeds. Now, I've got a story to share with you. I'll try to make this quick. Because this week things happened and it got really interesting for me. I was working through. Wednesday is my day that I really dedicate and set aside for working on the message. On Monday, so I'll go this way since you guys think left or right, backwards for you. On Monday, my car, I took it into the shop because for a few weeks I've been smelling antifreeze and I couldn't see a hose or anything that had been leaking. And they said, yeah, your radiator's leaking. These radiators are plastic, and once they start leaking, it's all over. He said, it's not going to be good soon. So I called my wife, left it at the shop on Monday. Tuesday, talked to the guy that would be ordering the parts, let me know, okay, the part's going to be, you know, about $200, a couple hours labor, you know, so a couple $100 there. So I'm like, okay, we need to do it. Let's do it. Thanks for informing me. Let me know how much it's going to be. That's nice to be able to plan. I had just built up our $1,000 emergency fund, which I was excited about. I like sitting on $1,000 of security in my bank account. Then where I know if something goes wrong, like a radiator, it's covered. And then I can build that back up. That's what that's for. So that happened, and then on Wednesday when I was working through the message, I thought, you know what? What if I did this? What if I got crazy and I stepped out on faith and I said, okay, I'm going to do this as a leader, following the example of these guys. And I knew, Dusty, you're going to have to be real careful with this because some people are going to view it as an act of bragging or boasting. So be very careful how you present this. And so I decided, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is going to be good for the church. It's going to be good for God. Then I got a call from the mechanic. He said, you're not praying enough for your car. And I said, I don't pray for the car. I pray for people. You know, I was trying to be, you know, pastoral, trying to act like a preacher. He didn't think it was very cute. He said, well, you need to start praying for your car. He said, because you got a California car. And I was like, California car? And he said, yeah, with California emissions. He said, your radiator doesn't even have a part number at Mitsubishi. It's that rare. It has a sensor in the radiator, and you can't buy them separate. They have to come together. He said, the part alone is over $700. Do the math with me. I've got a $1,000 emergency fund before we get into the red. I've got this check that I was wanting to write for $250. $700 part, and I had a couple other things that I was wanting him to do while the car was in the shop. And so I'm stuck Wednesday thinking, oh, thanks God, this makes it difficult. And I just preached last Sunday, the giving part's not easy. Sometimes it hurts, sometimes that's a sacrifice. So Friday, I called my wife up and I said, here's what I'm wanting to do. Does this work for you? And she said, if it's what you feel we need to do as a family, I'll follow you. I'll follow your lead. Do we have the money? And I said, barely. I mean, we're going to be back to zeros at the bank. I share that because as you're sitting and you're praying and you're thinking about your Easter offering, and as you're going to write a check and put it in the envelope, I want that to be an encouragement to you. And a reminder that the giving is not going to be easy, but the generosity is full of joy. And I love that. And we talked a couple weeks ago about the difference between an offering and a tithe. This kind of giving that I'm talking about, this Easter offering, is what I would describe as an offering. It's something that is above and beyond your normal tithe. It is a special gift. An Easter offering or our harvest offering that goes towards a missionary or an extra offering sometime that you give towards a missionary, towards a special project or a family in need, or you're giving to an organization. All that, I would consider that offering. That's above and beyond a normal, regular, habitual gift that you give. So there's another form of giving that's called a tithe. And I believe that both forms of giving are honoring to God. So let's look at the tithe real quick. Honoring God with the tithe. The tithe simply means 10%. That's it. It's an Old Testament principle that I believe carries over into the New Testament simply because it's not just an Old Testament law, but it is a principle also. Where you could argue that the Old Testament law does not exist anymore and it doesn't carry over into the New Testament, I would agree with you. It is unarguable that the Old Testament principles do carry over into the New Testament. You can't argue that. You can't argue against that, rather. God's regulations changed with the freedom and responsibility of the new covenant, but the principles did not change at all. Are you following me? Okay, we just shifted gears from math to story to theology. Are you with me? It's theology, yes? We're taking a lot of curves here, okay? So here's a simple definition of the tithe as a principle. Not a law, but a principle. The tithe, and you'll want to write this down, it's in your bulletins. The tithe as a principle is habitual, regular percentage giving of the first 10% of your earnings that is given to God to support the everyday operation of ministry. I had to reduce the font size to keep that on there. It's a lot. That's a big sentence. But I think it's a clear picture of the principle of what a tithe is in the New Testament, to the New Testament church. This is what the tithe was in the Old Testament. This is how it functioned. This was the principle of the tithe. The benefit to the giver and the benefit to the receiver still exist in the New Testament. If you look at the benefits of the giver, first of all, tithe, as we've discussed earlier, is a practice in trusting God. That benefit exists Old Testament, New Testament. It doesn't matter what testament you're in, what covenant you're under. If you're tithing, if you're giving to God on a regular basis, the first 10%, the first fruits of your labor, the top 10% is yours, God. That is a practice in trusting God. That principle stays the same. You see that? Yes? That's not bound by law. That's a principle. Another benefit to the giver is that it's a percentage giving. The genius of the tithe is. A tithe is 10%. It's not a certain amount. So if you're barely scraping by and you're a single mom making $25,000, then 10% is 10%. If you're a couple where you're both working and you're both bringing in $100,000 apiece, so your total income of your household is $200,000, it's 10%. It's fair across the board. That's a principle that carries over. I think that's beautiful. I think the tithe is a genius idea on God's part. It really is. There's no reason at all not to continue with this great Old Testament principle. In the Old Testament, it was very clearly spoken of that the tithe to the temple was to go towards the ministry. It was given to God, but the use of the tithe was very clearly spelled out. It was given to God, but it was for the use of ministry, to keep ministry functioning in the temple, to pay for the Levites, which were the, you know, the priests, and to keep them so they could work there and not have to worry about working in a farm on the side. So that still functions the same way. So the benefit to the receiver is still here from the tithe. The benefit to the receiver is still here. We're giving to God, and it is to support ministry operations. That's what the tithe goes towards. You're giving to God. So let's look at some numbers here. According to citydata.com and FactFinder2.census.gov and ers.usda.gov, which are both government sites, the median household income for Hamilton County 2010 is $46,000. Now, that's not a yearly salary per person. That is a median household income. So if you are that single mom squeaking by at $25,000, or you're a married couple pulling in $100,000 apiece, then that household income would be $200,000. So I think $46,000 as a median household income from Hamilton County, that's realistic to look at. I mean, you can't argue with the numbers. They've done their studying. But looking at it here, that's something we can accept that would be correct for our church. Now, if we take that round number of about $46,000 a year and we divide that by 52 weeks, then we get this number, which is $884.62 that the average household brings in per week. Follow me on the math? We just turn corners again, right back to math. So if we take 10% of this, which would be a tithe, then we just move the decimal two places over. For you, it would be this way. To $88.46 a week would be the average tithe of someone in our church. Now, we have 97 giving units in our church. Now, let me give you a definition of a giving unit. This will be right there in your bulletins as well. Giving units are families or individuals that are currently contribute to the work of God in this church. Giving units are families or individuals that currently contribute to the work of God in this church. We have 97 giving units in this church. So if the estimates are correct, then the 97 giving units each week, when we combine the tithes of the average median income, are you following me on this? Yes? Okay, so we've got the average tithe that would be present, because I can't go and get the numbers. That's confidential. So I have to use general median numbers that I can find through government websites, because I can't access which one of you guys are given 10% and which one of you guys are given 5%, which one of you guys are just throwing a 20 in the plate every so often. Okay? So I'm basing this off of those numbers, that would be the average tithe. If you make more, you'd give more. If you make less, you'd give less. But $84.48 times 97 people, then our weekly average, based on these numbers, should be about $8,500. I want you to flip your bulletins over to the inside. Right there at the bottom, every week, we've got the averages for the last 3 months. We've got December, January, February. I just took January, February, added them together, divided by two, so we can get an average for 2012 so far. And so if you take that, then the average so far this year is $6,898.65, which is back on the screen here. That means we're short about $1,700 a week. Short of what we should be according to the average of Hamilton County. So that tells me that instead of our 97 giving units giving 10%, they're really giving closer to 8% on average. You can step that up. You can do that. I'm just sharing these numbers with you. And so that we can look at our giving with the backdrop of what households giving 10% based on what the median household income is for Hamilton County would be. These are just numbers. Only you know what side of the numbers you are on. Only you know if you are one of the 97 giving units. And if you're one of the 97 giving units, only you know if you are honoring God with habitual, regular giving, also called the tithe. So we honor God with our offering, and we honor God with our tithe. So let me wrap this up here. I knew today was going to be a little lengthy. Sometimes I feel that my role here at Miami Town as a preacher. Sometimes I feel a little bit like a teacher. Sometimes I feel a little bit like a motivational speaker, you know, because I want to get you guys pumped up and excited and you know, doing stuff and moving. I want you to learn about the scriptures. I want you to be inspired to dig more and learn more. But really the umbrella of how I feel about every Sunday is I really feel like a coach. Because what I want to do is both of those put together. I want to teach you something. I want to inspire you to move on. I want you to help to move on. If I'm preaching about marriage on a Sunday morning, I want to coach you on, to inspire you to be the best spouse you can be. And I want you to leave here thinking, yeah, I can do this. It's going to be tough. I want to stretch you as a spouse. If I'm in here on a Sunday morning and I'm talking about prayer, like last month, I want to stretch you the way a coach would stretch you and say, all right, I know you guys pray, but if we really want to shake things up, let's step our prayer up. Let's do some things. Let me throw some challenges at you so that you can try and do some prayer challenges. Do something different. Do something new. Stretch yourself. If it's about faith, I want to inspire you to have more faith. If it's about trusting God, I want to inspire you to trust God more. And if it's about money, I want to inspire you to be a better manager of what God has given to you. That's how I view my role here. If it's about giving, I want to inspire you to be more like God. And that means being more generous. This message about money isn't because my radiator broke and I'm hoping for a mid-year raise or something, you know, to pay for that. No, this is not about that at all. What this is about us being the church. Can I get more than just two? This is about us being the church. Amen. It's about being the church. That's what the whole year is about. And I told you guys, and this year, every message is going to be to lift you up and say, you can do it. You can be the church. You can do great things for the kingdom. Don't doubt what God is inside you. Don't doubt God's ability to use you. And this message, this whole series about money, don't doubt God's ability to take your faith, stretch your trust in Him, and use the money He's given you to do amazing things for His kingdom. If we raise $25,000 for the Easter offering, and they cover the children's place, and they go $10,000 worth, and we've got $15,000 left over. We have a soundboard that's going out. We've got facilities needs that are happening around here. We've got things around this church that definitely could use it. So don't think that, oh, well, they only need $5,000. If we make it to $10,000, that's going to be double what they need. Let's not think about the project. Let's think about honoring our God with our money. That's being the church. At the beginning of this series, our Acts message. Do you guys remember the title of the Acts message this month? Poker players? Come on. All in. The first church, they said they were all in, and they showed it with their money, didn't they? People were going and they were selling stuff and giving to the poor. I'm not asking you to sell your house to give to the Easter offering. I want to better represent the church that existed in the beginning, in the first century. They honored God with their giving. And I want to see Miami Town do the same thing. The challenges this month, if you pull this little green sheet out, they're all about money, because this month was all about money. I'm not ashamed of this, because this is great stuff. It will stretch you. You can only do four of the challenges this month. You say, wait, there's five of them. Trust me, you can only do four. One and two is either or. Depends on where you sit. Number one is first-time tither. If you've never tithed before, or if you give every once in a while and it's not a habitual, regular giving, then I'm going to ask you to do something and pray about it and talk to God about it and commit to this year habitual, regular giving of a percentage. And if you can't start with 10, start with 5. I encourage you, try 10. It's a nice round number. It's easy to do for us that are math challenged. But start somewhere. Set a percentage and commit to regular giving and become 98, the 98th giving unit. The 99th, the 100th, the 120th, the 130th. I want to encourage you to do that. If you don't do it, there's a joy there. If you're already giving, I feel like the coach. I feel like my job is to help stretch you. Give more. And this isn't because church is needing it or anything like that. I mean, we looked at the numbers. Yeah, you can do more. This is for you. Because the more you trust God, the more you're practicing your faith. And so I'm asking you to give more for you and for God, not for the church. For the ultimate part of being the church, acting like the church, having the attitude of the church, but not monetarily for the church. Is that clear? Does that make sense? M3 is the Easter offering. Pray about it. If you want to use the goal of $250 per household or $125 per person, use that goal. We'll make $25,000. If you want to go above that, if you can't make that, I just ask you simply in this challenge, pray about it. You've got a couple weeks. And when the Lord lays an amount on your heart, write the check. Because you never know what might happen the week that you plan on writing your check. Because you might be tested like I was this past week. Number four is about supporting missions. If you've never given to a mission, then it's asking you to do something about that. Adventure out. Go beyond giving to just this church. We've got a number of missions that you can give to directly through our church, or you can pick one your own. I don't care. Just do something outside so it's not about us, not about you. Get outside the box and start thinking globally about mission work and about the gospel going out to people other than just Miami Town. And then the last one, some of you guys, oh my goodness. The last one is really nice. It's really, whoo. Last one, just simply, when you're in a drive-thru, and I know all of you guys are going to drive-thrus, okay? You can't act like you're a big health nut, but you go through a drive-thru every once in a while. When you go through a drive-thru, pay for the person's meal behind you. And just tell the person, if they ask, just tell them God is good. Very easy. What we're going to do, I'm going to ask the musicians to come up. And we're going to prepare for our time of offering. What we're going to do today is going to be a little different. We're going to sing a song to prepare our hearts for our offering this morning. And this song is strictly to think about and worship God so that when we give our offering today, it's not just a part of the service, it's a part of our worship.